So, here we are.
I wanted to read you. Obviously, the lofty reasons I suggested for the practice of mindfulness and metta, there are also less lofty reasons, which I like to not hold back from you. This is a canonical piece of reference about the benefits, the 11 advantages to be expected from a heart familiarizing oneself with thoughts of loving kindness, with cultivation of loving kindness, and by constantly increasing attitudes and thoughts and the regard for loving kindness, and giving that loving kindness expression as something to be treasured, and by living in conformity with the wish for such an expression. So, 11 benefits. He sleeps in comfort. She awakens in comfort. He sees no evil dreams. She is dear to human beings. He is dear to non-human beings. Devas protect him. Fire, poison, sword cannot touch her. His mind can concentrate quickly. Her countenance is serene. He dies without being confused in mind. If she fails to attain holiness, complete freedom, complete arahantship, here and now, she will be reborn in the Brahma world. I would think, maybe not all, but some of them might be sounding interesting. Yeah? Some of them make psychological a lot of sense, isn't it? Sleeping and awaking in comfort, no bad dreams, being dear to other beings, isn't it? That's, if you're kind, they might actually be kind to you. Dear to non-human beings. Interesting. Yeah? The gods protect you. Not just one Abrahamitic god, but, you know, the devatas. The many, many, many devatas, which Buddhist cosmology tells us of. In Buddhist cosmology, this is the fifth floor, from a 33-story building. We're five from the bottom. So there's a lot more to come above. A topic maybe to be deepened in on another occasion. Then an interesting point. One is safe from harm. One is out of harm's way. That's an interesting sort. Powerful metta practice can stop you from hurt, from injury. Even the elements, let alone other violent human beings, do not get at you. Then, again, something very straightforward and easily testable, that the mind concentrates easily. You can obviously do the opposite test of that. If you want to stop your mind from having any form of collection, there's two things you can do. One is to fill that mind with wishes, and even more effectively, to make that mind aversive. There's many little things you can test like that. If you want to increase your knee pain, just start hating it when it occurs. Rather than meeting it with a welcoming, benevolent acceptance, just hate it. Hate your knee as well. Hate your mind that does that pain, because the pain actually is here, it's not there. So best you hate not just your knee, but you hate your mind as well. See what happens. It's very easily found out that pain loves aversion. If you want to make out of your little unpleasant knee experience a truly infernal test, hate it. But it's very clear. If we are accepting, much of our pain goes away. Because much of our pain in any aspect of our life is resistance. Much of our pain, not all of it, and that rest may not go away even if you accept it. But from early in my life, I am very, very clear that I can almost always double the agony of something by hating it, or by not accepting it, by combating it, by going in a conflict stance. And, you know, the corollary of that is if you do the opposite, if you practice metta, if you orient towards rather than moving it out or cutting it out or try to ostracize it or isolate it or get rid of it, if you turn towards, if you allow it in, if you're willing to be with it, it may still be unpleasant, but it's a lot less unpleasant than if you think this is an insult to you and you are entitled that this doesn't take place and this should be removed from your experience immediately. If you go with this attitude, that's the opposite of metta, by the way, then you will probably have more of the very pain you would like to have less of. Good. I would suggest half an hour's meditation in walking. Yeah, can we have a bell at 10 past 4, and then come back in for our last sit and some more? Like to say something briefly. The exercise in walking: clear beginning, clear end. Primary focus of your attention is touch sensations in your feet and their shifting, weighting, rolling, lifting, this kind of thing, the change in those sensations. And it's more difficult when you do that in walking than when you sit still with your eyes closed, because you have movement, so your body senses are giving you more input. You have your eyes open, so your most dominant sense, your visual field, is fed. And it may feel that walking meditation is not very effective. However, do not believe that feeling. Walking meditation is highly effective. It resembles your everyday situation a lot more than the sitting meditation does. In other words, what you practice in walking is more easily transported in your everyday life. And B, walking gives you a kind of fluidity that is more resilient against sensory input. Yeah? If you learn to stay with your sensations in the feet while having sensory input, that staying power is more resilient than the one you develop in sitting. Yeah? That's a very important point. So do not underestimate the power of walking. Yeah? We'll meet back in here at 4:10.